Bible bump or what? Would you all stand with me? And by the way, the kids need to be dismissed. Pastor Vince forgot to dismiss the kids. Can everybody go, oh, Pastor Vince. Kids are dismissed. Scriptures this morning, it's always good. We read in the Bible that in the Old Testament, that people stood for the reading of the Word of God. And so this morning, we want to read from 2 Timothy. We want to read from Colossians as we begin our time together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Colossians chapter 3, verses 23, 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you again this morning, this second Sunday of this new year. Lord, we recognize that many people are sick. People are getting colds and flu. I pray, Lord, that you would protect this church from sickness and disease. Pray, Lord, that you would keep us healthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Pray that you would protect us and watch over those, God, who are not here today that are watching online because they're sick. It's a new year, Lord. We just give you this new year. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. We embrace, God, this journey of this new year. We pray, Lord God, that you would speak unto us this morning. I pray, Father, for those of us that we've gathered here, you are with us, and you are ultimately the teacher. We ask that you would teach us. We pray this for your glory in the name of Jesus, and all those who love Jesus would say, amen, amen and good morning. And you know what? Taylor up in the balcony, it's Taylor's birthday today, and Taylor's the dude that made that video. So can we ever just say happy birthday to Taylor up? He's doing the live streaming up there. Hey, Taylor, happy birthday. Taylor, happy birthday. Yes. Yes. Hey, you know what? I just want to... Our growth groups are starting off this week, and our growth groups rock. If you're new here, what this is all about is we will listen to a message here on a Sunday morning, and we take notes, and we go and join a group. There's like 21 groups that are meeting throughout the church throughout the week, and we gather together with our notes, and we just begin praying, we begin talking, and we just try to, I use the analogy, we try to stir in the message from Sunday. Community, our discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. And to be in a community of believers that gather together weekly for a time of prayer, a time of sharing life together, and a time of opening up God's Word and letting God's Word be stirred into us within a community is it. And we're launching our growth groups this week. If you are not in a growth group, we totally invite you to be a part of one and to join one. As we're kicking it off this week. So has anybody made the New Year's resolution you want to go to the gym? No? Good for you. Well, I'm trying to go to the gym. And as a matter of fact, so just, Pastor Frank has lost 13 pounds. And going. It's all good. I'm at the gym and I'm thinking this is the most unhealthiest place I can be right now. There is germs all over the place, people coughing over, and I'm like washing my hands. You guys, please be careful. There's a lot of flu going around, a lot of sickness, and it's good you're here. We've been talking with quite a few people in our church that are just sick, so pray for them. We had a good year last year as a church, and we're so grateful for how God worked within our church body. We had great Christmas Eve services morning and evening, and there's a time between that Christmas Eve service and New Year's that I love. It's kind of a downtime for me. Was it a kind of a downtime for you? It's a time where A lot of people aren't working, you know, it's just kind of that weird season. And so what I propose to do is to get out my honey-do list. Now, do you know what a honey-do list is? What's a honey-do list, guys? It's the list we're supposed to do because our honeys want us to do the list. And so we have a honey-do list. And one of mine is at our house, we have a garage door that goes out to our backyard that needed to be hung in our house. And we had our house painted last year. And so this door, the door we had on it was just falling apart. So I have to go put a new door on. So during Christmas and New Year's, I hung a door with my dad, praise God. And so we went and bought a door. And it was kind of cool because one day, you know, I've got my Dremel out, and I'm cutting notches in the door, and I've got my chisel and hammer, and so we have to trim the door. We got to put the hinges in the door, and you've got to, like, move the hinges into the door to keep them flush, and that's where my Dremel's a great tool. But then I was chiseling and hammering, trying to make this cut right. And as I was doing this, people, I was thinking of a place that I'm going to be at in about a couple months called Nazareth Village. And Nazareth Village, it's this beautiful place in Nazareth that they recreated what it would have looked like in the days of Jesus growing up. And it's kind of cool because this Christian group bought this chunk of land and they were going to recreate Nazareth, what it would have looked like in the days of Christ. And after they bought it, they found a first century wine press. And so all the archaeologists from Hebrew University came out and said, you guys are real lucky. Boy, you found an amazing find. This is a wine press where the people in the village of Nazareth would have crushed grapes. Remember I Love Lucy? They'd crush grapes in this wine press. And it would come down. And all the boys, this was kind of a festive time when they would harvest. And all the kids would come out and crush the grapes. And you're looking at this wine press saying, Jesus of Nazareth, this little boy, crushed grapes right there. It's pretty cool. It's very cool. As we go there, they have this place where they recreated all the tools that Jesus would have worked with. Chisels and all the tools that he would have worked with in the first century. And he had a hammer and a chisel. And I was doing the same thing. And I was thinking, I was talking, hey, Dad, this Jesus was a carpenter, you know? And I'm thinking, picturing him just working for the first 30 years of his life as a carpenter. And I was wondering, I wonder what kind of work Jesus did. I wonder what kind of reputation Jesus as a carpenter had. If Jesus had a Yelp or Google account, what do you think would have been Jesus' reviews?
He's awesome.
Good worker, right? I'm thinking, this guy is an expert craftsman, would probably be on. This guy is awesome. He shows up on time, bids the job, does the job when he's supposed to do it with the money he said he would. Can you imagine a carpenter doing that?
No.
I mean, you guys, there's a family in our church that bought a house up at Baker Ranch, and they're getting their backyard done. And the guy that said, the backyard will be done by Thanksgiving. It's still not done. It's still not done. Do you think Jesus did that to his customers? No way. Can you imagine if Jesus, what was Jesus' reputation as a worker? Hard worker, professional craftsman, religious. He won't work on Saturday, right? Probably someone says, watch out, I tried to rip him off. And 2 days later, an earthquake shook my house, but didn't shake the houses to the right or to the left. So he's got some, be watch out for this guy, right? Who knows? What was Jesus' reputation? I'm sure that Jesus of Nazareth had 5-star reviews. When God became flesh and walked among us, he worked just like you and I do. Let me say that again. When God became human flesh and walked among us, he worked just like you and I do. You know, are you excited about Monday? Monday, right? Jesus understands Mondays. For him, it would have been Sundays. He understands that. Welcome to week 2 in a new series we've been doing called basic training boot camp, we just thought it'd be so cool when you read in the Bible, the Apostle Paul at times uses military concepts and military terms to describe our experience in our walk with Jesus as followers of Christ. The Apostle Paul uses the famous chapter in Ephesians 6, the armor of God, that he says that we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We wrap truth about our waist. It's the belt of truth. We have the shield of faith. We read how the Apostle Paul, speaking to his young protege Timothy, starts calling Timothy a soldier of Christ, and to watch out how to not put yourself or entangle yourself in civilian affairs because you're a soldier. And Jesus is our commanding officer, which is true if you think about it, right? I mean, according to the scriptures, in a sense, Jesus is our commanding officer. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the captain of the host of heaven. He is, in a sense, our commanding officer. And we, as his followers, are his soldiers. And so taking this kind of concept, we thought, man, wouldn't it be cool for this new year to create a series and just call it Basic Training Boot Camp? And for the first few weeks of the year of 2018, we would go to Jesus's boot camp, that we would hit Jesus's basic training. And we would walk through things like if we were at basic training. Now, I asked last week, if you were here last week, you know, I asked, hey, how many people in here have been to basic training? How many people went to boot camp? I never went. Like I shared, I had the Marine Corps recruiter at my house, but that was about it. I just couldn't cut my hair. But my son went to basic training, and my son is in the military. He was serving last weekend in the National Guard. I know, right? Oh, God bless everybody who serves in the military. Do I hear an amen? Thank you for all those that have served and are serving. When my son went to basic training, it was interesting to take his 10 weeks of basic training, and they broke it up into three sections. They called it red phase, white phase, and blue phase, red, white, and blue. The red phase was more of philosophy. It was more of honor and duty and why it's important that you're here, why you're serving. It was the why of basic training. And from the why, the red phase, it went into how. Well, how do I do this now? And that was moving more into weapon skills and combat training techniques. But it went from why is it important that you're here as a volunteer serving in the military? Why? And then it moves into the what. And so last week we talked about, well, what is the core values? Not just of the United States military, what's the core values of heaven? Do you remember? How many people were here last Sunday? What is the core value of heaven? Love. Love of God toward you. And how we as human beings respond to the love of God. It is the foundation of why we do what we do as followers of Jesus. The number one commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God loves you. To respond back to God's love is the foundational operating core value of heaven. It's about love. Our faith is not a religion, it's a relationship with God. Amen? It's the red phase of heaven. And we thought we just want to nail that down, and we did that last week. This morning, it was funny, someone came up to me and said, Pastor Frank, is this series going to be more like theological and talk about the Trinity? No, what we're doing is we're going to move into more practical things. Like, how do we take the operating principle of love and apply it into our daily lives? Like work. How many people in here plan on working this year? Raise your hand high. How many people have already worked this year? How do we apply the principle of love of God into work? What does that look like? What does that look like? So, hey, what I want to do this morning is we're going to go to basic training, okay? I want you to take notes as we talk about this idea of work, okay? Check this out. Did you know, people, that the first pages, the first words of the Bible speaks about work? speaks about work. Check this out. In Genesis 1:1, the first book of the Bible, the first verses of the Bible speaks of work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Genesis 2:1-2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the what?
Work.
The work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Great verse I love. Jesus speaking years later, talking about God the Father, he said this. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I as his son am working too." You want to take notes this morning? Take notes on this. You ready? God worked, and he's still working. God worked, and he's still at work. God worked. God is working today. Check this out. This is what God calls a great day at work. When we read in the book of Genesis, it says God did, and he says, and it was good. And then God says, and then this was good. And then I created the solar systems, and it was good. And the stars and the sky and the earth and all that dwells within it. And God keeps saying, it's good. It's good. Have you ever had a good day at work? You ever ended a day of work and you came home and you said, that was a good day of work? It was good. God worked. As a matter of fact, people, did you know that you are a piece of work?
I see what you did there, Matt.
Am I right? You are God's work. I still love this, and I tell this story all the time. As a brand new believer in Jesus, I was in Hawaii at a YWAM base on the Big Island of Hawaii, and there was a professor from Oxford University on his way to Sydney, Australia, to do lectures on the genetic code of life. His name was Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. You can look him up. And as he was on his way, this man was a friend of C.S. Lewis. He was a scientist, a professor at Oxford, and he was going and speaking on the genetic code. And as he was on his way, he was speaking at a lecture at the YWAM base on the Big Island. And I remember I was planning on going to the beach. That they're like, you should come listen to this guy. And at first I'm like, no, man, I'm here in Hawaii. Okay, we'll go hear this dude. And this guy was amazing. I remember him talking about the enormous amount of information that goes into creating you and me. The enormous amount of information that goes into making you. If you think about the enormous amount of information that goes into creating a vehicle, the internal combustion engine, the electricity and the metals and all that goes into a vehicle that makes all the science, that the thing that you drove here today is a lot of data and information to creating that vehicle that you came in today. But imagine if your car had the ability to heal itself. The enormous amount of information it would take that you backed into someone else and your fender's bent, but give it time because your fender just heals itself. Could you imagine the amount of data and information it would take? Or imagine if your car spit out little baby cars out the tailpipe. Okay? When you look at you and me, the enormous amount of creation that's in you and I within the genetic code of life, the enormous amount of information that created who we are, that you and I are a piece of work. God made you and me in his image. God made us. And it's good. You are made in the image of God. You're beautiful in his eyes. Think about that. That value and worth. See, people, God worked, and God is still at work, not only just in creation, but I love that when you read in Genesis how God, through Abraham, will bring a Savior into the world, or we read in the book of Revelation, the angels are in heaven praising the work of Christ on the cross, that with his blood he purchased for God people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priest to serve him. When you look at the work of God, Jesus left his carpentry business when he was about 30 years of age because he had other work, redemptive work, work that he was going to do in saving you and I and bringing redemption to us. I have a t-shirt, and I love this t-shirt. This is one of my favorite shirts. And it says, be patient. Be patient with me. Why? Because the carpenter from Nazareth isn't done with me yet. You see, I am still a piece of work. God is still working in my life. God is still in the process of molding and making and shaping me into the man of God that he wants me to be. Do I hear an amen? God is at work. Jesus says, my Father is still at work, and I am at work with my Father working. People, your Creator works. And if our Father in heaven has and is still is working, then what does that say about us as people made in his image? What about you and me? Listen to this. In Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God created mankind to work. God created us, people in his image, to take care of his creation. And you know what? And I won't read it, but in Genesis 3, it says, even after the fall, it says, now from the work of your hands and the sweat of your brow, you will now find food. People, God created us to work before the fall. God created us to work after the fall, but we were created to work. And as Pastor Graham said last week in our sermon prep time, he says, before the fall, work was a delight. And he says, and after the fall, it's a drudgery. I thought that was good. God created you to work. And there's something that comes from working that fulfills a need in us. Doesn't it feel good when you accomplish something, when you achieve something? Do you know when I hung that door that day, I felt good. I walk in the door and go, I hung that door. I feel good. Do you remember when you were in school and you worked really hard for a grade and you got that grade and you accomplished and you felt good? You accomplished something. You worked hard for it. Why? Why that feeling inside of us of accomplishment? It's there because it's God created it in us. You and I are created as beings to do something, to work. What's the old saying? God didn't create you to take up space and consume resources. God's placed you here for higher purposes, right? Listen to this teaching in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commend you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who's idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We're not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to anyone. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who's unwilling to work, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we commend and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Take notes. To be idle and unwilling to work is a what? It's a sin. It misses the mark of God's perfection. Sin is an archery, or it's a term. It means you miss the bullseye of God's intended purpose for you. To be idle, to be lazy, and notice the word unwilling. Hey, if you can't work because of a disability, that's different. Do I hear an amen? If you're looking for work and you can't find work, that's not sin. Do I hear an amen? It's unwilling. It's when the person says, I just am unwilling to work. That's the problem, because people, God created us to work. I remember my wife's dad loved playing golf, and when Dennis was getting ready to retire, I said, well, Dennis, he goes, Frank, he goes, I can only play so much golf. You can only play so much, right? There's something about us that we work. We work. And God expects us to work. And I think when we don't work, there's something that's wrong with us. Like we're missing something, a sense of accomplishment, achievement, something. There's something about working and feeling good about doing something that's a part of your DNA of being made in God's image. God works, God's still at work, and God expects us to work. And the Apostle Paul says, if you're not willing to work, it's wrong. Isn't that interesting? How about this one? Ephesians 4:28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Check this out. God expects us that from our work, we should save and bless others. Write that down. From our work, God expects us to work, and from our work, He expects us to save and bless others with our wages. Great verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Now about your love for one another, Paul says, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Amen to that. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, that your daily life of working would win the respect of outsiders or people that don't believe in Jesus. And don't be dependent on it, right? On anybody. Write this down. Work. God works. He created us to work. If we don't work, it's wrong. We should work, save, and help others with the fruits of our work. And listen to this. How we work is a witness to the world. Did you catch that? How we work should be a witness to the world. And you should mind your own business and work with your hands. Imagine doing that. Just as we told you that you should, that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And you will not be dependent on anybody. Hey, if you had a Google account or a Yelp account about your work, what would it say? What would your work associates, what do they say about you? What's your reputation as a worker? Do they even know that you're a Christian? What do they say about you as a worker? Is your work reflective of Christ? Is you being one that works? Do you see that God placed you in that place of work as a witness in that place of work? Are you hardworking? Are you honest? Are you reliable? Are you a joy to work with? Are you encouraging? Is there an inner strength at your workplace because you're there? Are the people glad you're there, or will they laugh and jump up and down and be happy when you leave? Is your job just a paycheck? Is it? Should it be? Is that what Jesus did with his life? It's just a paycheck. My job's just a paycheck. Is that how Jesus approached it when he had his hammer and chisel out, making things? We're supposed to be a blessing at work. Why? Check this out. Here's the verse. Memorize this verse. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, not for human bosses. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Take notes. Did you know that we as Christ's soldiers are supposed to be working for God? It's the red phase. The operating principle of heaven is love. God's love toward us and our love back to Him. I get it. Now, how do I apply the why into the what of how I live my life? How do I apply the why of God's love and my response back to that and now apply it into the red phase, the white phase, and the blue phase of work? How do I take my love of God into my work? Do you know how you do that? You make God your boss. God, I'm here to serve you today. God, I'm not here for a paycheck. My whole heart's in this thing because you're with me and I serve you. And I pray, God, that as I work, I would be an example of your presence in my life. From our love of God, we bring it into our job. And this is what's called, here's a theology. Write this down. It's called the work of divine calling. You've ever heard that before? The work of divine calling. We work under the Lord. Has anyone ever heard of the Protestant work ethic? Anyone heard of that term? Protestant work ethic. During the Protestant Reformation, 500 years ago, people began reading their Bibles as the Bibles were being printed into their own languages. And as people began reading the Bible, they began reading that God has a lot to say about work. God works. It says in this that all of us are to work. That God works. And we as His creation are to work. He told us to work 6 days and rest on the seventh, right? As God did in the beginning. We read and hear that there's a purpose and a satisfaction from our Creator in working. That we're created to work. Not only this, to not work is wrong. And when we work hard, we work unto the Lord. And in this, it's called the doctrine of divine calling. Martin Luther began to teach that all people could serve God through their work. A person's vocation was equated as their calling, and all callings were of equal spiritual dignity. I love how he worded that. As he began reading this and teaching this, he said this. All people could serve God through their work. A person's vocation was equated to their calling, and all callings were of equal spiritual dignity. A farmer, a president, a businessman, a police officer, a pastor, a stay-at-home mom, all callings were of equal spiritual dignity. As we work unto the Lord, let that sink in. We love God and we serve Him in our work. And in this, it's our calling. Whatever you do, this is the verse of the Protestant work ethic. It's the verse of biblical work ethic. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Isn't that a great... If you applied that verse tomorrow, how would that change tomorrow at work? So I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine. And I ride around with these guys. And when I get in the car in the back lot and we start our day, I pray, "Dear God, thank you for Officer Blank. I pray that you use him and me today as an instrument of justice and righteousness in this city. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and protect us and keep us and help us, God, to stop evil in this city." What am I doing when I pray that prayer? I'm trying to explain to him that he has a doctrine of divine calling. And it's cool when he prays with me, and it's really cool to ride around with a brother in Christ. But even when I'm not, I pray over them. I'm trying to get them to see that what they're doing today is of a higher calling. I remember for years, my wife, I'd come home from work and we have three kids being raised, and she'd be like, "I just want adult conversation. I just feel like I'm not doing anything." I'm like, "Babe, you're sustaining life today. If it wasn't for you, this would be a crater in the ground, this house. And these kids, it would be bad. You are of divine calling today as a mom, watching over our kids. You as a businessman, it's a divine calling. An accountant, it's a divine calling. We approach our work as a ministry unto the Lord. As a teacher, it's a divine calling. Don't you wish the politicians would see their job as a divine calling of God and that they're held accountable to God and how they do their job? How that would change how people approach work. People, God has placed you where you're working at tomorrow. Hey, if you're a student, I remember telling my students as a professor at Biola University, "Hey, students, your job here is to learn, and welcome to my class. And this isn't Camp Snoopy. And you're going to work. You're going to work in my class," and they worked. That's their job. That's why you're here, to learn and grow, right? God has placed you to serve him in your workplace. It's called the doctrine of divine calling. And that's how Jesus approached his work 2,000 years ago. And that's why he had such great reviews. That's why he was an amazing carpenter in Nazareth until the age of 30. Because he approached his work as unto the Lord. And when you get this, something will change inside of you. If you get this, soldier, if you integrate this love of God into how you live your life at work, something inside of you will change. You will begin to view work differently. You will begin to see work differently. Your quality of your work will go what? Down or up? What do you think? Up. You being a blessing in the workplace will go down or up? Come on, help me out. Come on, people. Are you going to be a jerk at your workplace in loving Jesus? Anyone? Remember, no wimps and no jerks. If you embrace your job as a calling from God, your quality of work will go up. You as a blessing in your work will go up because your love of God consumes this. And you know what's really cool? There are people that are workaholics. If that's you, that's wrong. God's not a workaholic. The reason why many people are workaholics, it's because their identity is wrapped up in what they do. When you work unto the Lord, your identity isn't wrapped up in what you do. Your identity is wrapped up in who you are as a child of God. See, I'm a child of God first and a pastor second. You are an accountant second, and a child of God first. You are a child of God first, and a teacher second. You're a child of God first, and a nurse second. You're a child of God first, and a police officer second. If my identity is who I am in Christ, then I don't get wrapped up in this workaholic stuff. It protects you from it. Are you with me? Does this make sense? People, there's a theology with work found in the scriptures. And God has a lot to say about work in the Bible. He created us to work. He created you and I to work. So I was thinking about this sermon. And on Friday, I gave my friend Frank Sison a call. Where's Frank? Come here, Frank. Do you guys know Frank Sison? I like Frank not just because he has a great first name. But when I say this, when I get older, I want to grow up and be like Frank. I asked Frank to come up here. Frank is now his vocation. He's retired, okay? Tomorrow morning, he's not getting on the freeway, are you, Frank?
I don't think so.
No, you're not. Frank, where did you work for all your years?
Okay, give you a short history of my job. I had 20 years in the U.S. Navy, retired.
Thank you, right?
And 23 years with an aerospace company, Boeing.
Right on. That's good.
And for those of you that are still working, you're a blessing to me. You know why? Because I'm drawing Social Security. So keep up the good work. So anyway, 20 years in the Navy and 23 years with Boeing, that's a short history. I'm going to have to give you a little bit more details on what happened as far as my spiritual walk.
Yes.
Because we're talking about spiritual walk here. On my 11th year in the Navy, I met this woman. She's.
You got to watch out for that, by the way.
She's a godly Christian, you know. Not all Christians are godly. Some are very godly. She is. And I get to like her. With perseverance and persistence, I was able to marry her. She didn't want me at first because we're not equally yoked. She's very godly, I'm not. I'm wayward by all means, and that's putting it mildly, you know. So anyway, when we got married, shortly after I was sent to Vietnam as a naval advisor to a South Vietnamese outfit, riding river boats, and that was not very pleasant indeed. And while I was there, my son was born. And also while in Vietnam, Lorette sent me a New Testament. I read that from Matthew to Revelation, verse by verse, and there was no effect. But needless to say, now I know something was working in me, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, back stateside, after my tour in Vietnam, in San Diego, she didn't drive before, so I have to take her to church. She wants to go to church, don't want to miss church, that's fine. And instead of me hanging around the parking lot, I have to take her inside the sanctuary. And I wind up listening to the message as well.
That's also dangerous.
And I heard about the good news several times.
Yes.
And the promise was redemption from my sin, salvation, eternal life. I said, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But this thing came on, you know. Sometime summer in 1973, I gave myself to Jesus. Accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And that was the best day of my life. And fast forward, after 20 years in the Navy, because if I give you a lot of details, we'll be here all day, and I don't think you would like that. So after I joined University Community Church from San Diego to Irvine, and that church is no more. Of course, they had financial difficulties, and they have to close the door. And after that, we found Filipino American Church of Irvine, which is a sister church of Woodbridge.
Right.
And there, a year or so after, Pastor Vince came aboard, and he brought in the basic discipleship lesson, which I did like. So I got involved in that one. We present this lesson to several churches, even to one church in the Bay Area. And it was good. Even have the opportunity to share this in one of those Bible schools in the Philippines. And they gave us 2 days to cover the lessons. And that was very good. I feel blessed doing that. And we did it also in church several times and at home. And also at my work. I was working for Boeing at the time. During lunch, I conduct Bible study and also conduct that discipleship lesson. And several of them have went through that. As a matter of fact, most of them went through the church and get their certificate from Pastor Vince. Mm-hmm. Handed, you know, in the pulpit. And that was a certificate of completion. And that's showing that they've achieved something. And that was good. Now, there must be something else. And Pastor Winan came aboard. And he talked about a growth group. I said, Lord, maybe I want part of that. So I prayed for it. And I talked to the wife, and the wife said, well, she's going to support me. And we got one. We got one going. And every time we meet, there's joy in my heart. I feel very blessed. I love all of them. I love all of you, but I love my growth group better. So if you're not a member of one, join one.
Amen.
Okay. But anyway, after January 2004, I retired from Boeing. That was, 14 years ago. Growth group, and we still do discipleship for those that would like to partake. Allocate time, 12 lessons, 12 weeks. It was good. It was very good. And it's such a blessing to me.
Are you retired?
No, I'm not retired. As a matter of fact, one thing I'd like to do is keep on working, serving the Lord.
There it is. Did you catch that?
Just like it says in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my wife.
That's what I was about. That's what I, brother. Did you all get that? Listen to this. So Frank becomes, Lorette's not going to marry this dude who doesn't accept Jesus. So he dated a Jesus girl, and she got you, didn't she?
She got
you. Watch out for those, by those. That's awesome, right?
As a matter of fact, added note, Pastor, I said to myself, once I change this woman, she's going to be perfect. Come to find out she changed me.
Yeah, well, how about God changed you and used her to do it? How about that? So this is what it was. As Frank was working, he comes out of the Navy, he's at Boeing, Pastor Vince has created these like one-on-one discipleship materials. It basically says, hey, do you want to accept Jesus? Let me walk with you and meet with you, and I'll show you what it's like to be basics of what a Christian is. And Frank, working at Boeing, used his Protestant work ethic to be a witness at his place as a Christian man. And at lunchtime, he would go and disciple people at Boeing. He would lead a Bible study at Boeing during their lunch break. He retires from Boeing 14 years ago. Did he retire from serving the Lord? Answer? Do we ever retire from serving the Lord? Answer? Does God retire? If God's not retired and God is still at his work, then what does it say about you and me? If you're people, you love God, and you love God in your vocation, and you serve God in your vocation, whatever that is. If you retire from that vocation, you still serve and love God. Always. That's the message. That's why when I grow up, I want to be like Frank.
That's heavy.
And that is it. By the way, that's a great growth group. You guys, if anyone doesn't have a growth group, Tuesday nights, they have an amazing meal, and Frank leads this sermon, and he's going to say that he felt the best part of the message is when he came up. You know that. That's what he's going to talk about this Tuesday, right? We get together. He is still serving the Lord. It's so cool to sit, and Frank was saying during their Christmas party they had for their growth group, this is the most beautiful part of my week. When I serve God, as I'm looking at Pastor Frank's notes and the message and the sermon, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm praying for you in our growth group, and as everybody comes and you all bring your notes, and I'm here to be used by God to stir in the message from Sunday morning, and Frank is just a facilitator in that. And we have 21 groups of Frank. He's one of 21. You need to be in a growth group. We're always serving God. Can you guys thank Frank for being up here? Well done, brother. Well done. Basic training. You guys are basic training this year, right? Basic training. Red phase, it's all, the operating principle of heaven is love. It's love. It's God's love toward you. Do you know that God has never loved you more than he loves you today? You are beautifully, wonderfully made in his image. He created you. And God loves you so much that when you blew him off, when our representative Adam, God is in the process of restoring and redeeming you and I back into relationship with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love toward you is fixed. You're the variable. How will you respond to this love? Have you ever loved somebody that didn't love you? God's an expert at that feeling. But he calls us. And for you and I, we begin to see the love of Christ, Frank 1973, and we finally align with that love, and God's love changes us. The blood of Christ on the cross washes over us. We are redeemed and born again, right? It's beautiful. From this operating principle of love, it's the red phase of heaven. How now do I live out this? How about at work? What if tomorrow morning you go to work and you say, I'm going to serve you tomorrow, God. You're my boss. And I'm going to work with all my heart. Honest day's work and honest day's wage. I want to go there and work hard at my job because they're paying me for this. And while I'm there, I'm not going to be a busybody. I'm going to work with my hands, live a quiet, good, and be a witness for Christ. If you were to do that, would your work day tomorrow be different? Hey, if your vocation, if you're like Frank and you're retired, are you retired tomorrow?
No.
No. Work for the Lord. Wake up tomorrow. God, how can I be used by you today? How can I serve you today? God, guide me and lead me today. God, next week we have this ministry fair. Man, the church is all volunteer. To come next week and say, how can I serve my God and my church? There's lots of ways you can do this. In all ministry departments and areas, prayer ministry and serving. Do you know there are people that come out here during the midweek and they're pulling weeds at God's. They're fixing sprinklers. I mean, it's awesome how God's people are worked. In growth groups, maybe you should start up a growth group in your house and say, I want to do like Frank did. I want to get some people in the church that aren't in a growth group and invite them to my house. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to work for God in this. Maybe that's your calling. It's the second Sunday of this year. The Lord calls you to work for him. If you're willing to do that, would you stand? God calls you to take him to work tomorrow. God calls you to take him to work tomorrow. If you're willing to take that Colossians verse and tomorrow to go to work and say, God, tomorrow is my divine calling. I'm a student at blank. I'm going to work under the Lord. I am an engineer at Boeing. I'm going to work under the Lord. I am a doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm a businessman. I'm an accountant. I'm a police officer. I'm a teacher. God, tomorrow you will be my boss. And Lord, I want to even commit and dedicate my year of work to Jesus. If that is your heart, I want you to close your eyes and to lift your hands. And I want you, between you and God today, and this is, hey, it's cool if you're not standing. This is something you got to work through. If you want your job just to be a paycheck, fine. But I'm telling you, in your spiritual journey, God's going to call you to give your work unto him and integrate his love and who you are into who you will be at work. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. As soldiers of the cross, as followers of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Lord, we see that you work. We see, God, that your work is good. We read and see, God, that you created us as people in your image to work, that there's satisfaction that comes from work. There's a sense of accomplishment that comes from working with our hands. And you know that well, God, because you created it within us. Lord, we are to be people to be a good witness at our work, to be the best employees we can be at our work. Lord, with our hands lifted toward heaven, we commit to you now this second day our work to your hands, to your kingdom. We declare you as our commanding officer. And as we go and work out on the fields, we work for our God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would teach us how to apply this truth into our lives tomorrow, on Monday, on Tuesday, next Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Lord, help us to end our day saying that was a good day. I dealt with external circumstances in the name of Jesus. I dealt with internal fears of my work in the name of Jesus. It's a good day. I pray, Lord, for your power to fall upon us and the God you would use us, God, to be witnesses of Jesus tomorrow. We dedicate and commit the work of our hands to God. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those like Frank that are here today. Their vocation is over. They're retired. What a blessing. Teach them, Jesus, that they're never retired. Teach them, God, that they're always at work, serving the Lord. Always. We thank you for our church and all those that serve today. We thank you, God, for those that volunteer. I pray your blessing over them. May you give them a sense of accomplishment that I serve God. I praise you, Lord, for this morning. In our time together, may the voice of the Lord speak into our hearts today. Amen. God bless you, friends. The Lord be with you this day. May God watch over you and keep you. May God give his strength unto you, and may God give you peace. The peace of the Lord Jesus be with you. And I pray that you have the best day of work tomorrow that you've ever had in your life. Amen. Join a growth group, people. If you're not in one, go out there and sign up, and we'll get you in one this week. Our service is over. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.